Hi, this is Rachel Bilson, and you are watching The Whole Bitches.
Welcome to The Whole. I am Rob Sprantz.
I'm Lori Levine.
We are very excited. Rachel Bilson is joining us today. Thank you for joining us, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm jealous because you've started a podcast called Welcome to the OC Bitches. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm jealous, firstly, is because I used to start every show by saying welcome to the whole bitches until we started interviewing people, and then I stopped.
He had to class himself up.
Yeah, I had to class myself up, and now you're dropping it way better than I ever did anyway.
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate the recognition.
but the podcast is great. It's you and Melinda Clark. It's called, like we just said, Welcome to the OC Bitches. And in the podcast, you're going over each episode of the OC one at a time. But one of the things that I'm liking about it is that's the spine of the podcast, but it's not really all that the podcast is. It's a lot of you and Melinda Clark just talking, which is really cool.
Yes. Yes. We are definitely reliving our experience on the show. Fun things that I actually have forgotten long about, that, you know, behind the scenes stuff and what was happening in our lives at the time. Like, we're just covering everything. It's not like, oh, in this scene, this happened. Because, like, anyone can see what's happening in the scene by watching it. Right, so we're trying to give a different experience to everyone who has watched the show or watching the show for the first time now.
Mm-hmm. Are you a nostalgic person in general? Like, can you look back on things and feel nostalgia about it? Or because some people I know, when they look back, they don't always think about the best memories.
I'd like to think of myself as a nostalgic person. I'm definitely watching it being like, oh my gosh, I remember, because I was 21 and remembering kind of life at that time. You're like, that was so cool to be young and not really have any responsibilities. You know, being a mom now, I'm like, gosh, that was like a really cool experience.
Your fame going from 0 to 60.
Yeah, it was definitely a big transition for sure. But I've talked about, you know, all of us kind of going through it together and being a fond memory for me. It wasn't, you know, social media didn't exist then. I think we kind of had this nice bubble, so to speak, with everyone going through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. You didn't have that. I didn't even think of that, because now no matter what happened, you know, you have over 1 million followers. So I'm sure you see the gamut of creepy to sweet to annoying to every type of person that can get involved. But, you know, Lori brought up a good point about, you know, going from 0 to 60. What were you doing beforehand? I know you had a couple of guest appearances on things. What made you want to get into acting in the first place and want to do it?
Well, so my dad's side of the family, basically they're all in the business to one degree or another. I was doing plays and stuff in high school. And after my senior year, and I, you know, had the main character in the play, or the lead, as some say, he was like, you know what? You're actually kind of good at this. Do you want to like give it a try? I was like, yeah, Dad. Yes, yeah. I do. And that's kind of how it happened. You know, I was lucky enough to have help from my dad and my stepmom, and to get me sort of going and started. But I have to say, what really did it for me was I had the most amazing commercial agent who sent me out all the time. And I got super comfortable just going in and being an idiot and making fun of myself and being in front of people. And that really helped me when having to audition, which, you know, you have to do. And just making sure my daughter might be walking in. Life at home. But yeah, so for me, that's really what it was, and the practice, and then being lucky enough to land my first series, which was the OC, which is kind of crazy to have your first thing be something that succeeds in that way.
Mm-hmm. So how does your life start to change, and how long after it's out does it start to change? Because that's, you know, I remember, and I watched it from first episode two, and I do remember, like, it was really an incident. The pilot, there's something about the pilot. You know, if a pilot's really good and grabs you, like, you're all in. Mm-hmm. And it was something about the pilot that made it a point to highlight each character's strengths and both for the actors as well. I mean, your sense of humor is, you know, you have a very good sense of humor. You're very funny, and that plays out as well too. So how does that, you know, how does that start to change for you? Well, after that first episode is out, in the beginning, I'm sure you're just hearing from friends and family, but how long before it starts getting a little strange where you're like, wow, this is hitting another level?
Yeah, well, you know, I think for us, there was an event that we had when the show started airing that we kind of realized, like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of people here to see us. Like, there's people watching this show. And that was an eye opener for sure. That was during the first season. And then being recognized and all of that, it was just like this weird thing. But again, going through it together, you know, with Adam and Ben and Misha, and it was just like, okay, we're together, we're experiencing this, but like, holy crap, people like us, people like the show. And it was just kind of cool. It's always cool to do something that people are enjoying and that you feel like you're actually entertaining someone. It just felt like a really good indication that we were doing something neat.
Sure. And then so as the show starts to, you know, by the time the first season ended, I think that's when it got everyone all in on it, because I think the last episode of the first season is when your character and Adam's character, like, you know, there are so many sets in the world, and that's my perspective. And there were so many summers, which is probably more how our Lori life was. So you know, like, there was that moment. To me, that was the almost the scene that had me just completely all in on it, because it was like, wow, this is just such a cool way that it was done. And now, how long do you know right away you're renewed? Because usually in the first season, like, they drag it out and torture everyone that works on the show. Did you know pretty early on, or did you have to wait?
You know, I'm going to say I think this is what happened, but it was so long ago, I don't know exactly. But you usually wait for the network to announce the shows that are going to have another season, and that's usually in May. And let's say we would wrap like in March, so you would kind of have like this 2 month limbo of waiting to hear what the next steps are and if you're going to go again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a tough 2 months.
But everyone must have, like, the show, everybody was talking about the show immediately. It was the biggest thing. And for me, because I'm little, like, I loved summer so much, and Rachel, but she's like, you know, next to Misha, like, she's so little, and I just, yes. I mean,
just we were really definitely, like, we were twins, like, you know, the movie twins. Yeah. It was, like, a big difference.
Rachel as Danny DeVito.
Exactly, as I often am referred to, so.
You're about as far from Danny DeVito as I can think of.
I wouldn't speak too soon.
Although I did see in an interview that your sexiest man is Larry David. So yeah. maybe that's a compliment for you.
Was absolutely.
Look, I'm a big Curb fan too, so like, I get it. Maybe not to sexy man get it, but I do.
He is my all-time forever celebrity crush that will never change.
Really? You ever meet him?
So once I went to a play, and he was like at the play that was happening next door, and I saw him. And never in my life, I started sweating. Like, I had to run the opposite direction. I was like, oh my God, if I make eye contact with him, if I say hello, I could not deal.
I've got to think that everybody who meets him in the back of their head is like, he probably hates me. He probably, you know.
I feel like that's a compliment. Like, if he doesn't hate you, then like, what's wrong with me?
Right. I know. You know, he's like, whenever we think of people to invite for the show,
yeah,
I just don't even bother. I'm like, first of all, he'll never do it. And if he does, he'll hate it. So
But then also it kind of like, does it ruin your fandom of, you know what I mean? Like, meeting these people that you idolize, like, and you meet them and they're a certain way, it could ruin it. So maybe it's best at a distance.
That's true. You ever have anyone like that in your life that like you really looked up to, and then you met them and you were disappointed? You don't have to say the name, but you know.
Oh, could you imagine? I'm like, and this person is real asshole. No. I honestly don't think I've had that experience. Everyone, for the most part, at least, has been cool enough to not ruin your experience.
That's cool. So how does it come about to do the podcast? Is it something born out of pandemic? Is it something that, you know, you were thinking about doing before that even came about?
No, I think people, you know, they came to me and were like, you know, would you want to do this? It was presented to me as an idea, and it was during the pandemic. And I was like, absolutely. That sounds like fun, number one. I can do it from home. Like, everything kind of, it was kismet, the timing and everything else. And I called Mindy, or I sent her an email or something, and was like, would you want to do this with me? And I knew we would have fun together and hopefully bring some joy to people during such a crazy time, and just have fun rewatching the show.
Mm-hmm. So do you actually do that now? And that's actually another question. Do you, when it was airing, did you watch each episode when they aired? Like, did you watch it as it came out, or can you not look at yourself on screen?
No, I don't think I watched every episode. There were definitely, you know, one of our producers, Mick G, who's a director, he would have parties for us to come and watch. And there were definitely certain episodes I saw, but there's no way I've seen all of these episodes. So,
really?
Aside from not having a memory, so I am watching them for the first time, there's ones that I actually have not seen. So that's been pretty cool.
That is cool. Do you over critique yourself when you watch it, or are you at the point where detached enough that you can enjoy it?
I'm detached enough. I'm old enough to, like, that is a whole other person. 21 and 39, there's a huge difference.
Sure. But how much of a difference, I mean, this is probably the most question you get so much, but how much of a difference is there between the character and you? Because I did mention the humor, like, your humor is there. I see it right now.
Yeah, I think that it started off a certain way. That was definitely a character, and I was emulating girls I went to high school with. But as Josh Schwartz got to know me, he incorporated a lot of my personality into the character, like, the fact that Summer loved Golden Girls was because Josh knew I loved Golden Girls. So, and as the show went on, there was a lot more of me put into the character.
That's pretty cool. So then, you know, you mentioned working with Josh. Mm-hmm. When the OC ends, you wind up working with him again. And this mm-hmm. time you get, I guess you can say, the lead in the Heart of Dixie, mm-hmm. Where now it's, you know, a completely different setup where you're a New York doctor that goes in to Alabama. Was it filmed in Alabama?
No, actually, we filmed the pilot in North Carolina, but the whole series was shot here in L.A. at Warner Brothers on the back lot. Yeah.
You cannot even tell.
Yes.
So what's the, before we do Heart of Dixie, mm-hmm. in the middle there, you did a movie that I absolutely love, which was The Last Kiss. Such a good movie.
Thanks.
Zach Braff. So that's your first film now. What differences do you notice between the two?
You know what? It's so funny. So that was my first film. I believe I did it during the hiatus, maybe of our second season of the OC. And I went there, and when I came back, I was like, dude, Craft Service makes smoothies on movies. Like, I remember asking Craft Service when I came back to the OC, like, can I have a smoothie? And they all looked at me like I was crazy, you know? Because it was like my first experience on, like, being in a movie. That was one of the bigger takeaways. But that experience on that film, to this day, was one of my favorite of all time. Like, we all got along so well. We had so much fun. It was really a special movie and time. And it's probably the movie that I'm most proud of still to this day. So I'm so happy that you like it. It just, everyone involved was so super talented. And mm-hmm. we were on location and we had the best time ever.
Yeah, and I think Zach had just finished Garden State.
Yes.
And it was the, you know, while it wasn't one that he directed, that was the mm-hmm. the next thing it was in. And, you know, Garden State was another one where I just sat there and absolutely loved it. So, but you were a nice surprise in that. Like, you know, it's just really, really good movie.
Thank you.
So, you know, you had mentioned, you said you were asking for smoothies and stuff. There is one thing I noticed in your podcast where you have you apologize for being an asshole at the time because of the age. What were you specifically referring to?
No, well, so Tate Donovan, who obviously fantastic actor and human, love him, made a comment in an interview that the kids were kind of like assholes, basically. and I will say, and he speaks to this, that I was not.
Okay.
Really, you know, but I know he like lumped me in with everyone else, which I was like, okay, that's fair. I'm sure I had my moments, you know, asking for smoothies and whatnot.
Asshole by association.
Yes, exactly. But that's what he was referring to. I apologized in case I had any of those moments with him in particular, but he was great and said I was, you know, I was not an asshole. So I'm going to go on record. I was not an asshole. I didn't ask Tate for a smoothie. We were okay.
Okay. You didn't come back from the movie and started measuring your trailer and asking for more
stories. Yeah, no. None of that, so. Luckily.
But yeah, I love that this podcast is getting so much attention. Like, it's been in the news about a dozen times already.
It has. And I don't know, I'm like, is that part of me just speaking very transparently? Or, like, you know, there's just kind of a lot of things coming up and it's fun to address them all, and we have a platform to do so. So we're taking advantage.
Yeah, and you know, you do speak very candidly, and not just about the show itself, but you also, you know, you talk, because each week, you know, for those of you who haven't checked it out, you really should. First of all, I recommend the YouTube version, because you know, you have Rachel Bilson and you have Melinda Clark. Why are you only listening? First of all, it makes no sense to me.
Aw, you're sweet.
but you know, that's the YouTube version. You can get the podcast anywhere that you can get podcasts. But every week they also bring in a guest or, you know, someone who's also been part of the show. And I was listening to a conversation on your latest one where you guys were just talking about being actresses and how, you know, when you get older, the differences between men and women in the industry and the unfair balance that there is. But you can, you know, there's... The show is there and you talk about it, but a lot of time it's, you know, you get to know you guys as well, which I really like.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah. So we're being very honest.
So, another movie you did.
Yes.
Which also really good movie, Jumper. Mm-hmm. With Doug Liman, who,
yes.
You know, in the beginning, it's so, talk about a director that has two phases that are both great. Originally he did Go and he did Swingers, mm-hmm. you know, two classic movies, but then he went into the action and Jumper. That's your first, I would say, big budget action type of movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's the experience like there? Do you get double smoothies? Like,
let me tell you about that craft service. all my experiences are just food. I'm like, so what kind of food was I having during this
time? You have a rider? Just, I want.
Oh, yeah. Smoothies. Well, you know, we shot part of that movie in Italy. So let me just tell you, craft service in Italy.
Wow.
If you want to shoot anything anywhere, you have the option to have. Do Italy because of the food. Okay. Fuck everything else. Fuck the site. You know, go for the food. No, that was such an amazing experience. I love Doug to this day. He's just so passionate and one of my favorite people. We had such a great relationship. That was a life-changing movie for me in so many ways, personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful for the experience. It was challenging. I did like the scariest scene I've ever done because we did this underwater sequence and I'm like, I'm not great in water. We had to hold your breath and act it out. And that was so nerve wracking. But having done it, I'm like, I did do that. That wasn't a stunt person. Like, I was in the tank. I did all of that. So it gave me a lot of experiences that I will like take with me for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't swim, so that wouldn't be good. I'd be a little.
Oh, no, bad. You would not. Yeah, you would definitely.
He'd
not
request a stunt person.
Right, or you'd be permanently underwater.
So yeah, it would be a 30-second movie where we would drown and it would be over.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned how this, you know, Jumper was life-changing personally, too. One of the things that I think has to be unfortunate about becoming a success that you don't intend is that everything about your life is out there relationship wise and everyone just knows every little detail whether you want them to or not. Was that hard to adjust to in the beginning, or is it something that you just try to tune out and not even look at?
I'm really good at kind of having blinders on, so to speak, and trying at least not to pay attention to a lot of the stuff that is out there. Cause mostly, let's be honest, when people put things out there, they're not like, oh, let's build this person up and only talk about positive things. Like, it's mainly negative. And growing up with the mother I had and all of that, it's like positive, positive, present, like all of that stuff. So for me, I got really good at not paying attention. Like one of my favorite quotes my mom gave me is, it's none of my business what other people think of me. So yep. I basically try to always lead with that.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Quote.
Yeah,
I know, because it can't be easy. But yeah, you know, there was, you know, it's when you're in that world, people tend to be with people that they work with or that they're always associated with all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. So not only are you, you know, someone who has a level of fame and everyone knows, but then if you're with someone who has a level of fame and everyone knows too, it's almost double the, it's almost puts pressure on it before it even begins.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, it's like everyone wants to know and see these people getting together and all of that crap. And, you know, it comes along with it, but like you sign up for what you do. So, you know, it's all about your mental state and how you handle things. Mm-hmm.
Great answer. So I want to touch on the music side.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you sang until I prepped for this.
Do I?
Yeah, me too. I saw it from Nashville. She's a great singer. And then also, I didn't realize you're like a real chef, basically.
Oh my gosh. I think some people would beg to differ. no, I do. I love to cook. I love it. And I love to do it with my daughter. It's definitely something that we did a lot of this past year. But it just makes me happy. I don't like to eat what I cook, but I like cooking for people and just, you know, seeing if they enjoy it and kind of, I don't know what that makes me, a people pleaser.
But why don't you like to eat what you cook?
I don't know. After you work really hard, it's hard to eat it. My mom says the same thing. It's like you just work your ass off to like make these not extravagant. Let's be honest. I'm not extravagant. But it's just hard to eat it once you've like made it.
That's weird. Yeah. So so in the singing part, how did that come about that you, did you even tell them that you sang? Did they ask you if you could? I mean, because I know you had a couple of episode arc on Nashville where you sang really well. It wasn't just,
oh gosh,
you don't know me is what you, I know. This is a gush fest. I should, I have to, no, the second I, half I'll insult you throughout the rest of this.
I think like going onto the show, I was like, well, if I'm going to be on this show, it's a music show. That would be a different experience. It would be cool. You know, I would never be able to like sing in front of people like live or anything like that. I'm way too embarrassed and I'm not like an amazing singer. I mean, I can carry a tune, but it was just fun to be able to do something different. And I was able to do that on the show and go into the studio. And it was really cool.
Yeah. So, and then this happens.
I'm also a rapper, an avid rapper, clearly.
And, I mean, this call me Dr. Rap. And I would play it, but then YouTube would just flag it. And then I would have to.
Oh, gosh. I've been cussing the whole time. I'm so sorry.
No, good. I'm glad. I don't care about that.
All right. Fuck it.
No. That's right. Bitches. but that caught me by surprise as well.
Everyone should look that up if they haven't.
Yeah,
seen
yes.
It.
I mean,
that's
look,
a fun one. And a lot of the girls that are with me are my best friends for 20 plus years. So it was really fun to do.
And yeah, and so, you know, there's it's called Call Me Doctor. And I'll try to put a clip in. YouTube will flag it for copyright and I'll have to pull it. But I'm going to put it in because it's, I mean, again, you had gold teeth. There was,
gum wrappers. They were gum wrappers on my
gum
teeth.
Wrappers. Well, I think you covered all, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Wilson Bethel, who was on Heart of Dixie with me, he played Wade. He wrote it. Maybe he wrote it with his brother. I forget, but it was so fun. We were just like, yeah, let's just do this and have fun with it. And we had so much fun. It was, yeah.
you've got everything in there. You've got the disses are in there. You've got the gold teeth in there. You've got the cars. You've
listen,
got
I might as cursing. Well have been battling with 8 Mile. Like,
I say reboot 8 Mile with yep. you.
Oh yeah. But I'm Eminem. Absolutely.
you know, one last thing I wanted to touch on before you go.
Yes.
You also got to do a clothing collaboration and
yes.
you got to, with DKNY,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I got to think most people, you know, you've got the EGOT and then other people like, okay, I want to do TV. I want to do movies. I want to have my clothing mm-hmm. line. I want to have a fragrance. I want to have all this. How'd that come about where you end up having your own clothing?
I think they, you know, came to me, and I love clothes. I love fashion, and it was just a fun thing. I'm a yes person. Like, I usually say yes to everything in life. Like, they'll be like, do you want to fly to, you know, Egypt tomorrow? I'd be like, absolutely. Like, it's just one of those things where I say yes to a lot of things in life, especially things that sound fun, like designing clothes. So it was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. And so what? How does that go about that you design? Like, what happens? Do you like have an idea? Like, I'm always
curious.
There
were a lot of meetings and a lot of things that I liked and pictures and whatnot. And it was a real collaboration, and it was a process, but a creative process. And I loved every second of it. It was really cool to do that and then see it brought to life and actually have the clothing like in your hands to wear. And it was really fun. It would change now, like, definitely, like, that was, like, 20-something me designing things, so it'd be interesting to see things now.
Yeah,
like,
what would it be now? What would it be now? Just, like, a onesie and...
Sweatsuits, obviously. Yeah.
Feet pajamas. I'm a big fan of feet pajamas.
Yes.
Thank you so very much, Rachel. All right,
thank you guys so much. I'm sorry I was late and everything else. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.